Bethany Baptist Church
would like to welcome all to attend the Spiritual Revival Missions Conference being held September 15th through September 22nd with the theme Empowering Future Generations for Global Missions. Please plan to join us for spiritually uplifting praise and worship, inspirational missionary testimonies about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and anointed speakers that will minister the word of God. For more information, please go to our website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of a God-centered self-portrait from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of a God-centered self-portrait.
Thank you for our worship experience and how that we've been able to connect with the living God of the universe. And Lord, we pray now as it comes time to get into your word. Lord, we pray that a connection would be made through your word. And so we invite the congregation to come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitude and turned the water into wine. Come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, at your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. We've been in a series, More Than Conquerors, and we've talked about how that God has ordained us to be conquerors, and that there is no reason why we should take a second seat position to that of a conqueror, that we should sit in that primary seat of being a conqueror. And so this morning, as we look at this idea of more than a conqueror, I want us to see ourselves the way that God sees us. I think that if we begin to look at ourselves the way that God sees us, then we might live a little differently. If I realize that I'm a child of the King, that I am a son and daughter of the living God, that ought to do something in my life to make me want to live a little differently, to make me want to live up to and not down to live up to the status that God has given me and not live down to the name that the devil wants to call me, that I need to realize, you know, who I am. So we want to talk about a God-centered self-portrait. So we see a God-centered self-portrait is actually a biblical self-portrait, because when we look at the Bible tells us who we are. And so I don't want to take, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, but I don't want to take my cue from anything else about who I am other than the Word of God. That I want to identify myself with what the Word of God says that I am. And so the Bible is like looking into a mirror. The Bible is a perfect mirror. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And so when you look in the mirror of God's word, do you see a kitty cat or do you see the lion that God has called you to be? More than conquerors. Now, we've been talking about this whole idea that the lion is an excuse. But I preached a whole message on sometimes it takes a lion to beat a lion. That you got to get some growl up in you, man. And go out and fight this lion that's out there trying to keep you from doing what it is that you're supposed to do. And so when you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror of God's word, when you open up God's word and you look in the mirror and it shows you who you are, do you see what God says about you? See, let me tell you about the way that people see themselves. There are some people that have low self-image. And what that means is they look at themselves in a derogatory way. Their image of themselves is low, and you know, as we move as far as low self-esteem means that you lack confidence and you feel badly about yourself. And then some people have a low self-worth, and that means that you put a low value on your life. So is there anybody here this morning that is suffering from a low self-image? Is there anybody here this morning that is suffering from a low self-esteem? Is there anybody here that is suffering from a low self-worth? I remember talking to a young man about 8 years old, and he was bragging about how good he was in sports. And he was proclaiming that he could do this and he could do that. And I said to myself, this is a young man right here. He don't have a problem with self-image, right? He didn't have a problem. Now, his problem might have been ego, but it definitely wasn't self-image. And so maybe there's somebody here today that you are suffering from one of these three things, that your image of yourself is derogatory, that you don't have confidence and you feel bad about yourself, and that you don't even feel that you have any value. So I don't want you to raise your hand, but is there anybody like that this morning? If you are sitting here this morning and that's the way that you feel about yourself, then you're not seeing yourself the way that God sees you. And we want to see this morning, because if you're going to be more than a conqueror, you can't look at the way that you see yourself. You got to look at the way that God sees you. And then there's this thing today that is out here. It's called body shaming. And some of you probably have heard about it, and hopefully you haven't been a victim of body shaming. But body shaming is where you criticize yourself or someone else because of an aspect of their physical appearance. And so, you know, it seems like one of the things that the devil was trying to do is that he's out to try to destroy who we are as believers. And if he can get you to think wrong about yourself, then, you know, he's going to have the victory in a lot of areas of your life. Now, many people are unhappy with their lives. Many people, and just think about it, many people are unhappy with their lives. The fact that there's more than $16 billion a year, $16 billion a year spent on cosmetic plastic surgery. Now, let me say this, because I can hear the emails and texts coming already, that sometimes people do it for health reasons. And I understand that, you know, you have to have, you know, cosmetic surgery for health reasons. And sometimes people may have had scars or injuries where they have to do it. And so I want to say that there are some good reasons why people get plastic surgery. There are some good reasons. So I don't want to minimize that whole thing. But let me quickly come behind that and say that the majority of people that get cosmetic surgery or plastic surgery, let's be honest, they are unhappy with some aspect of their self. That's why they get it, right? So again, I've already said that there's some people that get it for good reasons. So, you know, we don't want to downplay it, and we don't want a broad brush, but the fact is that most people that get it, they get it because they're not happy with themselves. That there's something about their self-worth, there's something about their self-image, there's something about their value that they feel that they're not as valuable or that they are not all that they can be until they have this particular surgery. So when you think about it, you know, just think about all the surgeries that are out there. And there, you know, there were prices that were attached to these, and I took the prices off. But I just want us to look at some of the things that, you know, people are doing. Treatment injections, hyaluronic acid fillers, chemical pills, microdermal abrasions, laser treatments, and augmentations, liposuction, nose reshaping, tummy tucks. You know, all those things people are doing because they are unhappy with some aspect of their character. Now, I'm going to show you this, and by no means am I doing this to make fun. I'm not doing this to make fun, but Michael Jackson. He was an individual that was unhappy with the way that he looked. He didn't, I mean, and so I'm not letting you in on any secret. This was something that was widely known. And so you see that he was unhappy with the way that he looked. And so what did he do? You know, he went through surgery after surgery after surgery and all type of things to get the look that made him the way that he wanted to be. Now, again, I have no problem with him doing that. I have no problem with people doing it. But I'm just saying that here was a man that had everything. Just think, he was one of the richest musicians and artists that ever lived. Probably had one of the greatest fan bases. Might have been the greatest entertainer of all times, right? But he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. And so we can see that, you know, in Christ, in God, we find our identity. And that if we are looking for our identity anywhere else, that we're going to find ourselves unhappy. Many of you are familiar with this experiment, that in 1939, Dr. Kenneth Clark and his wife Mamie, they did an experiment with black children. They gave them a black doll and a white doll. And the black doll and the white doll were exactly the same. Exactly the same dolls. The only difference was the color. Talking about 1939. And so this was the way that a lot of black children felt about themselves. This was the self-image that they had. This is what they saw of what their worth was. And that most of the children thought that the white doll was better. And so this same experiment was repeated, I believe, in the 60s or the 70s, and the same results took place. And so it's very easy for people's image of themselves to be marred. It's very easy for people's image of themselves to not be what it's supposed to be. But thank God that we don't look for our image in the world, that we look for our image in God. And that's why we are, I love this, accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. Paul says in Ephesians 1:8 that you are accepted in the beloved. Christ is the beloved. Christ is the beloved, and Christ is loved and cherished by the Father. The Father loves him some Jesus. Loves him some Jesus. And by nature of the fact that I'm in Christ, this means that the Father loves and cherishes me. Amen. This should be the basis for the believer's self-worth. My friend, what is the basis for your self-worth? Does your self-worth come from the world, or does it come from God? The voices of the world are not equipped to tell you. The voices of the world are not equipped to tell you how valuable you are. Your sense of worth should not come from the knowledge that your sense of self-worth should come from the knowledge that you are accepted in the beloved, and you are what the one who loves you more than anyone else says that you are. I am what God says I am. I have a clip that I wanted to show, and I don't watch a lot of movies, so I didn't see this movie, but this clip kind of hits to the point of what I want to say, because it lets us know that, you know, sometimes we can feel ourselves being influenced by the world. We can see ourselves being squeezed into the world's mold. And then when we get squeezed into the world's mold, then we change. This is the real you. How many of us have let the world shape and mold us? How many of us have taken our cue from the way that the world feels? You, if you go by what the world feels, you'll never be a conqueror. Here, this young lady, even though we know this is a cartoon, the point is that it's happening to kids every day. That same thing is happening to kids every day, and it's ruining their self-image. It's ruining their self-esteem. It's ruining their self-worth. And so, you know, we see, if you go to that next slide, I love this, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the key? What is the key? The key is to please God, and that you present your body to God, and He's the only one that needs to tell you who you are and what you are. That I present my body to God as a living sacrifice. This is built on the Old Testament concept of the sacrifice where they put the burnt offering on the altar and then it was consumed until it became all ashes. And that was what was called a sacrifice. That was a dead sacrifice. Paul said that you be consumed upon the altar of God, but don't be a dead sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. And if God, the only person I need to please with my body is God. He's the only one that I need to come before and get my cue from Him. See, because look, don't let the world, don't let the people of this world, don't let them press you into its mold. Don't allow the world to press you and shape you and cause you to be something that God doesn't want you to be. And he says that you do this by the renewing of your mind, that you get into the Word of God, that as I read God's Word, and I read in God's Word where it says that as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God, I realize that I am a child of the Most High God. And I renew my mind by thinking the way that God thinks about me. You know, I think that this is a message that needs to be shared with a lot of young people. Because just think of the constant pressure that they're under in the magazines that they read, in the commercials that they see in these magazines for, you know, all these different enhancements and all these different things that are supposed to make you look better. And then they feel the pressure if they don't have it and if they can't afford it. And so they don't feel that they're as good as somebody else. Man, thank God for Bethany Baptist Church. And then that we have ministries to children, and that we're trying to teach these kids who they are, and that they would get their identity from the Word of God and not have to take their cue from the world and not be pressed into the world's patterns. How does the world shape us? The world shapes us in several ways. Media, ungodly philosophies, social media. How does media shape us? The advertisements and the movies, when you look at those things, that they are actually working to shape people. If you don't have this or you don't have that. You know, I remember that song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. You know, the guy says, some man comes on the TV telling me I got to look like this and I got to have that. And if I look at that and I start to swallow that Kool-Aid, if I start to drink that Kool-Aid, then it becomes poison in my spirit. Ungodly philosophies, parents, teachers, friends. Now, you know, good parents will try to, you know, build a self-esteem in their kids. But you think about how many kids are growing up and they think that their name was a cuss word. Why? Because every time the parent called them, they used a cuss word to call them. Right? How many kids are being told growing up in the homes that they ain't nothing? Your daddy was nothing and you ain't going to be anything. I know that's bad English. Right? Teachers. Now, I'm going to shift a little bit and just say this, that I think, you know, when we start talking about the influence of teachers, you know, there's a lot of kids, especially in the area of theology, creationism, and those type things, that they are letting the philosophy of college professors shape their thinking and shape the way that they look at the scriptures. And I don't believe the things that I believed when I was growing up because my college professor said this or my college professor said that. You know, and they're shaping the minds of people. And then even social media. I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is that people get their theology from the internet. Man, people are changing their whole beliefs about God, about the Bible, about Christ. Why? Because of something that they read on the internet. How do you know that something is true? It's on the internet. Right? Everything on the internet is true. Everything on the internet you can believe. Everything on the internet that you can swallow and you can follow. Come on, man. Come on. You know, and I have to say that's quickly becoming one of my frustrations, is the information that people are getting on the internet that is changing the way they think about things. You know, instead of coming and talking to people that love them, right, coming back to their church and talking to somebody that loves them, talking to their pastor, talking to one of the leaders that have been educated in the Word, come back and let's sit down and reason together, because you read something on the internet, all of a sudden now you change. Now all of a sudden you don't believe that this is for me anymore. Let me back off of that. All right. We're letting the world shape us. And we need to let the Word of God shape us. Look at these two scriptures right here, Proverbs 31 and verse 30. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Now, see, people are focusing on the wrong thing. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with people getting dressed. I mean, if you want to get dressed and you want to get sharp and you want to get so sharp that you can cut somebody when they walk by you, that's all right. That's all right. Now, those of you who know me, you know that I like hats. I ain't gonna lie. I like hats, right? I got all kind of hats, right? I don't spend a whole lot of money to get all these hats, but you know, I like different kind of hats. But I don't let the hat, you know, I'm not looking to the hat to make me beautiful, right? A lot of times I got a hat on because my head starts getting a little bit colder now. You know, I'll be honest with you, man. My head used to didn't get cold, right? But now I find, man, my head, you can slap it and make noise. It didn't do all that before. But you know, when you look at, you know, beauty, and if we are dressing, you know, for beauty's sake alone. Now, again, I already said that there's nothing wrong with getting dressed and getting sharp. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, so I'm making that clear up front. But look what Proverbs says. Proverbs says beauty is vain. It's vain. And it also goes on to say, and this is talking about men or women, even though it's referring to the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the one that has the inner beauty. And then in 1 Peter, it says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting, the hair, and the wearing of gold, or the putting on of gold apparel."
Thank you for joining us today on Encourt in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of a God-centered self-portrait. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A God-Centered Self-Portrait, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A God-Centered Self-Portrait. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A God-Centered Self-Portrait. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, More Than Conquerors. When you visit our website, encouragingjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit encouragingjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Encouraging Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, EncouragingJesus.org, or send it to EncouragingJesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is EncouragingJesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to EncouragingJesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, EncouragingJesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.